Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Wrestle Culture. So no one told you wrestling's gonna be this way. They job you out, you're broke, your stable's DOA. It's like your mom has been the one to make your gear. When it hasn't been day one, your week, your month, and where the hell's Veer, but we'll be there for you. When Roman Reigns is a bore, we'll be there for you. Didn't they have this match before? We'll be there for you. Now your name's Gunther. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Phil Chambers and Andy Murray from What Culture to discuss all the goings on in wrestling this week. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a mega quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Phil and Andy. And, well, I thought that song would be rather appropriate considering the U-boat commander-sized elephant in the room.
Were the Nazis on Friends?
Well, he's just Gunther now. He's just the guy from the cafe.
It's a coincidence, guys. Come on.
Honestly, I realise that almost nothing should shock us now with WWE.
Yeah.
But when you first read WWE files trademark for...
Trademark? What trademark? We never filed a trademark.
Nazi U-boat commander Gunther Stark. Breaking all their own rules, as Phil and I pointed out in the news yesterday, because they always go, you can't have that name, it's too close to someone else's name, and they've already got a Stark in NXT 2.0, in Zoe
and
Stark.
Giving him two names, a first name and a second name, unheard of.
How did you feel finding out that news as the head of news here at What Culture? Did you think, well, that's my day a lot easier?
Yeah, it does. Like, that's the thing about stuff like this. It's objectively terrible, right? But when it happens, it does make our jobs a lot easier because it's like, well, there's 10 minutes of content we can talk about. The story that they trademarked this name came out before NXT. So we didn't know what was going to happen. It was just...
But we could reasonably assume the Austrian, the mat is sacred,
yeah.
Get a ring general, the might Imperium, have something to do with it, yeah.
The Imperium guy. It was doing the rounds, and I can't remember who tweeted it first, but somebody pointed out that this was the name of a U-boat commander in the Second World War, and it was like, oh my God, what are these morons doing?
I think my favourite part of it, Phil, and I mentioned this, and I have done on several occasions, was the Vincels attempting to claim, guys, it's just a coincidence.
Idiots.
That they've landed on this name.
God, there was loads of Nazi U-boat commanders. They were called all sorts of things.
I saw one guy going, oh, well, that means you can't call them any German name in case they were a Nazi.
It's like, call them Adolf anymore.
Yeah.
Political correctness gone mad.
It's lunatics. People will defend anything, won't
and now,
they?
I guarantee there will be people who, when we bring it up maybe at like our end of year thing, like remember when they tried to call Walter a Nazi U-boat commander's name? They'll say, guys, all he ever did was say my name was Gunther, and then they changed it to Gunther. So they just changed Walter to Gunther, guys. There was never any suggestion that they just so happened to file the trademark for Gunther Stark. Then the backlash happened when he just said Gunther on the TV show, and then they went quietly, as we reported yesterday, Phil. You know what? I don't mind. We'll back off trademarking Gunther
yeah,
Stark.
We'll just
there are a lot of competition for that anyway. Yeah. Like, hey, we wanted Gunderson for our thing.
I can't imagine people were queuing up to file applications for it. No. Maybe it's the actual
Gunther Stark might have been.
He was actually sunk in the English Channel in 1944. Take a seat, Gunther. It's wild. I don't buy into this theory that WWE didn't know about it earlier.
No, God,
at the time. Like, oh, I can't imagine they did this on purpose. What? They tried to name a Japanese guy Hirohito. Bloody, you know, like a few years ago. Well, I say a few years ago, it was like 20 or something.
Yeah.
But like, gee, come on. Like, it's WWE. They totally looked it up. They wanted this name. They Googled it. They found the connotations and went, ah, nobody else will Google this. Filed it. And then they abandoned it because they realized this is not good.
And this in the same week or around the same week, I think it broke over the weekend technically, around the same week where Mustafa Ali has basically said there was one thing they said that's made me go, you know what, I'm out of here. And they've refused to let him leave, which is ridiculous. But also, again, not that surprising from WWE.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, especially with Mustafa Ali, it kind of feels like it's been... Just you've just been sat there waiting for something like this to come out about Vince pitching ideas to him because of exactly what his name is, let's face it, and the history of how that's kind of been treated within the WWE. So it's not shocking at all that any of these things come out because, you know, like you see it, like you hear about the crazy ideas that like people have turned down from Vince, and it's like it just goes way past these things. And like if that's the kind of things he's pitching on a constant basis, some of those are going to slip through the cracks and some of them are going to end up on TV.
We have got two separate books available right now, shop.whatculture.com, to buy around wacky ideas that they just didn't do, like a frozen Nazi, I think Heidenreich was going to play.
Baron von Bava, there he is.
There's been plenty of Nazis.
But then also, another book filled with stuff they actually did.
Yeah. I mean, there's no shortage of examples throughout the years, is there?
Yeah.
So I've heard about Mustafa Ali, though.
Yes.
Like, you mentioned on the news today, Tony Storm said, I want to go, and they go, fair enough.
Yeah.
And then, but this is more like a...
This is spiteful. This feels like complete spite after the report that him and Vince got into an argument. It's like, the guy hasn't been used on TV since the argument that he reportedly had over this idea that he would never do. It all ties together in too neat a bundle for me, like, and this is just me speculating for it not to be all connected.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous story. He asked for one show off, according to Sean Rossap, for paternity leave, for the birth of his daughter, around Survivor Series kind of time, and nothing since. It's a total dick move. Like, it really is. The guy doesn't want to be there anymore. You're not going to use him as anything more than what he currently is, which in WWE is a mid-card guy. He's not happy. You're not going to do anything with him. He's very talented. What are you going to do? Why? Why would you? Hold off. Is it because he upset little Vince in an argument over a bad idea? Is Vince upset about that? Grow up, man. You're 76.
That's the thing with Mustafa Ali as well. It's like he's another one of those guys that you never hear anything bad about. Like,
yeah.
From people who are behind the scenes. Like, he seems genuinely like a lovely, lovely guy. And like everything he's put out on social media, he sounds sound. And it's like everything he's like they've given him so far, he's done his absolute best with and pretty much knocked it out of the park. Even the goddamn Retribution stuff, he still somehow managed to create something interesting within his promos for that, all of the storyline and everything.
And like, he was like, you know what, we're going to go above and beyond. We're going to go .com exclusives. We're going to do social media to try and explain away this.
He really goddamn tries his best with all these things. Like, remember going back to the promos that he did when he was like outside on the stairs or wherever it was, like back when he was going to be leading into the WrestleMania and then he got injured.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff was absolutely great. And there's so much there with Ali that could 100% work if you just gave him the chance to actually run with it and be himself instead of being what Vince pictures someone called Mustafa to be.
Yeah. Like, imagine, not suggesting necessarily that was his idea, but imagine going in with this, like, I've got this idea, we'll somehow use it to bring together the SmackDown hacker thing that you just dropped for no reason, and this, I've got this idea for this invading force. We love a bit of that, don't they, in WWE?
Easy stuff.
Yeah. And you go, okay, got it. Right, they come in to make it Vince's cup of tea. It's like Antifa, basically.
Yeah.
And they smash one window twice, and they cut the ropes up, and they do all this bollocks. Let's say that was his plan, and they go, great, I love it. And you're going to be called Cockwomble. It's like, oh, my God. Like, I'm astonished he hasn't asked for it before. And, like you say, not only is he, I've only ever heard nice things said about him, They've ruined him on numerous occasions as well, even when he was just like a baby face holding onto a Money in the Bank briefcase and just not pulling it down for some reason. Like, even his I want to leave wasn't like, this place, I'm out of here. It was like, I've done everything I want, I can and want to do here in WWE. The stuff I want to achieve, I have to leave the company. So just to let everyone know, I've asked for my release. And they're like, surprise, you're here forever, basically. Well, you've got years left on the contract.
Yeah, an undisclosed amount of years, poor guy.
Long time.
How long was his question? How long was Neville supposed to be contracted for?
Man, now he sat idle for like a year, didn't he? Yeah, it was like a year when he was like, this sucks, I'm going.
I saw him wandering around Newcastle City Centre. not even a joke, that. I was walking, and I was like, that guy looks a little bit like Neville. Oh, it's Pac, yeah. They just went, I'll just stay here, like. I'll stay in Newcastle.
Well, there's no studies in the United States.
Can you? With Ali as well, like, he's got the look. Like, you see the more recent pictures of him, he's goddamn ripped, and he's a handsome chap, and he can talk, and he can wrestle, he has everything.
He's really good.
He's a slightly wrong ethnicity for Vince McMahon.
Yeah, it's wild, this.
I promise, by the way, if you're a WWE fan listening, there is some good news coming. We just have to do one final story about Vince McMahon giving up on Finn Balor, which was personified on Raw this week, and it's something I've assumed for a while. We talked about it following Raw. He does what he does on the main roster. Universal Championship, gets injured. That sort of taints how they see him going forward from that, right? But then he, you know, gets effectively jobbed out to The Fiend at SummerSlam in a brilliant launch pad for The Fiend, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Goes back down to NXT, reinvents himself, dominates, wins the world title, comes back up, and he's in exactly the same place as he was before.
He had a slight moment on SmackDown when he first came back up. Like, he was immediately thrust into the world title picture. He was just thrust into the world title picture at the complete wrong time. In comes Brock Lesnar and bye-bye, baby. You're falling off the top rope. And then shoved over to Raw. And now he's Vince McMahon's new playthings beaten up guy. It's just a massive sigh.
It's been complete pish, this, hasn't it? Just Finn Balor coming back to the main roster, because the NXT run was good. And he gets the Roman Reigns feud, and you think, fair enough, at least we'll get some good matches out of it. And then your big match ends in this dope falling off the top rope after being revived back to life by his theme music.
Mm-hmm.
He's flopping around like a salmon on the floor. This is a 38-year-old man we're talking about here.
Demon?
What
demon? Yeah. Who gives a crap about that?
Yeah. And I've fallen off the turnbuckle. Whoops.
I hate to come back to it, but as well, I do sometimes take a perverse pleasure. You know, like, sometimes we talk about this. You either, like, watch something or you search something on Twitter, for example, just to wind yourself up. I take a perverse pleasure in reading, or I did at the time, reading those people being like, there's a story here.
Yeah.
You wait till SmackDown. They're going to look. If you see Paul Heyman actually moves towards the turnbuckle, and then this guy over here actually, you can see, I don't know, lifts a lever or something.
Because Roman was so scared of Finn, they had to do these other dodgy things around it.
And then they just go,
nope.
On to the next one, baby.
Speak of it again.
I had one guy in my mentions at the time, because I called it pish, because it was, saying it's clearly leading to a massive angle for the demon later down the road. You just have to let it play out. Why? Why? What a load of nonsense. And already, you know, straight after that, he goes back to being smiling loser baby face. It sucks. It really sucks. But I don't think they've had much faith in Finn Balor as a main roster guy since he had to relinquish the Universal title.
That did mark his card then, didn't it? Yeah. But in better news for fans of WWE, Sami Zayn is going to be sticking around. He has not resigned, re-signed a new contract with WWE. No word on how long, but we can assume a few years. Probably, I would assume, the exact length of time that Kevin Owens has signed for. This was less surprising off the back of the Kevin Owens news, but I still don't get whether you're WWE or AEW, people having fights online about this.
Yeah.
Just be happy for the lad for me. Yeah. I know, I'm sure El Generico, or whatever he was going to be called, could have done great things on the indie scene or AEW, obviously, but he wouldn't have re-signed if he wasn't having a nice time in WWE.
Yeah, like, I think it's totally fine to be like, oh, I was quite looking forward to seeing Sammy somewhere else. That would have been cool. Yeah. I think it's quite okay to be like, a bit disappointed about that. And also, but also at the same time, you have to go, as a guy, he's an adult man with a family and probably making a good living, and you should probably respect his choice because you're not in his shoes. Yeah, I think this makes sense across the board. Like I said this on the news this morning, Sami Zayn has totally figured WWE out. He has totally cracked the formula for how to stay in good favor, how to always be on TV, always get some kind of focus, no matter if it's in the main event or if it's on the lower card. He makes the most of it. He's very witty. He's funny. He's entertaining. He's one of the best things on the show every week for me. I don't need to see him with a world title around his waist. I just like him being a bit of a dick as a heel. That's enough. It's really entertaining, and I hope he got a big bag as well.
Imagine that. Imagine, like, yeah, signing his new contract and coming home and... the missus saying, oh, how was work? And it's like, well, I got paid a decent wage. Yeah, but you did have to take some bumps, didn't you? No, this week I fell on a crash pad. It's a piece of piss.
Yeah, piece of kit.
Had a helmet on, it was fine.
Boogs just chucked me and I went, oh, hell, that was awkward.
You always get a shot of Chris Jericho's cardboard boxes if he feels like the crash pad's too
pushed
much.
Around in a shopping trolley for a bit.
Yeah. Right.
I think, like, with both Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, like, neither of them, if they left WWE, would be shy of offers. Like, let's face it, they would be snapped up in an instant by absolutely every company that could possibly want to get their hands on them. So it's not like they're doing this, like, out of necessity that they have to go to WWE or anything. They know there is more out there. So obviously, they've done this because it's the right choice for them. And I think at the end of the day, you've just got to respect that. And obviously, Sami Zayn is also having a bloody ball on TV every single week. And like, if you listen to him on, was it Renee Paquette's podcast where he was talking about how, like, it goes against everything you sort of know about WWE, but he actually has a bit of like creative input and a bit of creative control over his character, and he's like creatively fulfilled within his role in WWE. And if he's getting that out of it, he's obviously putting a lot into his character. Like, he changes it up all the time. He's obviously loving it as he goes on, and you can see that in his performances. Why the hell not stay there and get the massive, massive paychecks on the biggest platform you can?
Do you know what he should do now? Now he's signed a new contract and he's got that potentially guaranteed money. We haven't really, you know, do we? Let's be honest. Why don't him and Nakamura just go rogue when they have the IC title match and just recreate the takeover? What are you going to do? Oh, no.
They book them into some, like, five-minute thing where Sammy has to try and cheat to win, and they're like, nah, we're going 20 minutes, guys.
Yeah, we'll just keep going.
The thing with these big money contracts, though, is that if they do that, they might go, oh, well, budget cuts.
Yeah.
You're at the top of our spreadsheet now, Samuel.
Do you realize our contracts do not work both ways? They are just for us and not for you.
Yeah, 90 days, pal, not for the years.
Just thought something as well. We were just talking in the office because we have... we now have a whiteboard that features all of the pasty bets going on in the What Culture office.
Just one.
Currently just one, but I'm about to pitch another one, okay?
Here we go.
The current one is between myself and Andy Murray, that either Scotty Too Hotty or Pat McAfee is going to be in the Men's Royal Rumble. Only 15 names confirmed so far, so...
So both could be in.
You're telling me there's a chance.
Is that two pasties, if both of them are in?
Oh, we haven't discussed the terms, have we?
We're also trying to lose weight, so maybe just one.
At what point do we tell them about the finicle?
I think that's a breadcrumb. We'll leave that.
Yeah, leave LTST. That one. Leave that one there. You're definitely Spears.
Another pasty bet that I want to put forward. Sami Zayn's going to win Money in the Bank this year. Anyone want to take me up on that?
Well, I don't really want to because I would like to see it.
Yeah.
Me too, yeah.
I'll tell you
I don't see it happening, though.
I think Sid will take me up on that.
I'll take you up on that.
Okay.
Shake, boys.
Shake.
There we go. I saw it.
It's definitely not going to happen, but...
It's definitely not going to happen. I'm definitely
imagine how happy you will be buying that pasty if it does
I
happen.
Will be very happy to hand over that.
What are you going to do when Otis wins it again?
Do you remember that stream?
I do remember
when
that.
When we were like, ha-ha, imagine if it was the fat lad who won it.
He did. And they're like,
it fell in his hands. Crap. And I almost forgot I was on a stream for a second. You know, you animate yourself a little bit on the streams. You go, whoa, and everything happens. Just me and Phil going,
what?
What?
Like a bloody goldfish. But yeah, best of luck to Sami Zayn. And hopefully, yeah, I'd love to see. Just in a
the
title
the one thing
match,
with Sami
like
Zayn.
World title.
Yeah.
They've signed him to this new contract now. He's making however much money he's making. He's going to be there for however many years he's going to be there. The one thing I want to see from this entire run is that goddamn documentary needs to be released. What happened to that?
What was the other documentary they pulled? The actual documentary they pulled.
Oh, the super one. Fan. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I can't remember. Vladimir.
I was going to say Victor, and I was like, it's definitely Vladimir. Not that.
Yeah. Vladimir, super fan for decades and decades. Yeah. They made it. It's apparently, it's like done. It's just, it's cancelled for some reason. Like, you've all this effort. Guy had cameras following him around for years of his life. You don't even put the video out.
The only thing you need to do is click publish on Peacock. No, that's all right. That's left. You spent all of the money.
Some really fannies work for that company, don't they? Jesus.
Right, I'm going to channel my inner Michael Cole here. Switching gears now, we're going to talk about AEW because I've kind of buried the lead on this show.
Is this a promotion I've literally never said anything nice about?
You see that on YouTube? That was so funny. That was part of our AEW backlash last week. Thankfully, that's calmed down a bit this week. Although I did just record a voiceover that could get me in a bit of hot water.
Ooh,
I've just realised.
What are you doing?
It's fine.
Ill-timed after Dynamite was pretty good this week.
Yeah. Not my fault. It's fine. But anyway, Jon Moxley had a sensational return on Dynamite. And by God, does he look good, Andy.
Looked about 5 years younger straight away, didn't he? It's like you saw the kind of before and after image that went around on social media, and it's obviously very easy to cherry pick an image of before from the heat of the moment or whatever. Yeah. But the change was stark. Like as soon as he came out, you knew straight away that he was healthier, presumably happier. It was just great to have him back. It was kind of horrible reading the, you know, after he entered inpatient alcohol treatment program, did a bit of reading on what that actually entails, and it sounds pretty horrendous when you have to go to that level. So when it's someone you watch every week on TV, it's really kind of, and you live vicariously through at times, I think. Moxley in particular, he was the AEW world champion at the height of the pandemic.
Yeah, and needed that, didn't we?
Yeah, he was on TV, like, picking you up and telling you to call your grandmother and stuff, and it was like, okay, like, wrestling's weird at the moment, but this feels good. So seeing him struggle, I think, hit a lot of people, but obviously, nothing compared to what the man himself has been through. Great to have him back. I thought the whole segment was awesome. The one-liners. He's always got the one-liners, hasn't he? I don't run from demons. I just beat the shit out of them. Great stuff. The only thing I drink now is blood. Of course, there was one guy in the arena who wasn't having such a...
what a knobhead.
What a fanny, eh?
But it did also almost sort of... Not I'm encouraging this by any stretch of the imagination, but it almost helped Phil because he came out and you're like, wow, he looks great, but what Jon Moxley are we going to get? Who is it? And he comes out and tells
straight away.
First thing he says is F off to someone. You're like, oh, it's the same old Mox. Good.
Yeah. Straight away, like the fastest shutdown of a heckler at a wrestling show possibly ever. Like, nope, you're done. Get F out of here.
Go.
What do you think about the argument that some people made of like, well, he's paid for a ticket and can say what he likes?
I don't agree with that at all. Like, we saw it on a much smaller scale through all the Defiant and WCPW shows and stuff. Like, some people are just assholes and they shouldn't be in places like this.
What goes
because they
through
ruin
your
it
mind?
For absolutely everybody else.
Because it's not like, you know, like online, I think it's partially to do with that of like, I can just say the worst thing I want online to try and get a reaction. But at least online, there is some anonymity, i.e., even if you're, you know, under your name, no one could physically come up to you in that moment and be like, the hell are you thinking?
Yeah.
But standing there, surrounded by AEW fans who are all ecstatic that this legend of AEW, who's gone through, like you say, such a tough time, has made it through, has come back for us and been like, ha-ha, let's remind him about his darkest times.
Yeah. It's not just like heckling a wrestling character that you don't like or something. No. I think like wrestling in general brings it out of people probably more so than any other form of entertainment because of the crowd interaction. Like, it's a massive part of the show. Like, it's encouraged for you to sort of be a part of the show within reason, obviously. And so I think that kind of brings people out of the comfort, like, and just, like, gives them a bit more sort of boldness to say these kind of things. But not that they should be said at all. And in that moment, like, you're picking that moment really to do this as this sort of hero returning to the company after one of the darkest times of his life. It's like, absolute F off. Like, exactly... Moxley couldn't have put it better anyway.
And is it wrong that, you know, when he went away, prior to him going away, I should say, I thought, right, well, he's kind of had his time in the sun with that world title and he'll be a nice sort of contender to face Hangman Page and do what Bryan Danielson effectively did. My God, did he do it well as well?
Yeah.
But I thought, oh, right, well, he's going to sort of, you know, go off and, you know, turn heel and do some other stuff now. And now everyone seems to be back on like, should you have another go with the title when
I think no matter what Moxie does from this point on is going to be absolute gold, because it's like just that kind of fire that was in his belly. Like, you know, he's obviously like sort of missed it as he's been away and been through this terrible dark time, and now like finding the joy back in life, and this is a big part of it. And you can see it like in his kind of twinkle in his eye that he's like excited to be back and stuff. And just, I think no matter what he does now, he's going to be absolute fire.
And it's sort of been surreptitiously falling in the lap in terms of you've got the Moxley return from Wednesday. Tonight he's facing, good luck, Ethan Page on Rampage, who's a brave man to take that fight. But also with Kingston's injury, I mean, it may well happen tonight. We suggested so on a Rampage preview, available wherever you get your podcast from. But like that reunion with Kingston's going to be so emotional.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And then the good news on that front is Eddie's only going to be out for 2 or 3 weeks as well. Yeah. Who comes back from a broken orbital bone or a fracture or whatever after that length of time?
Shout out to Ray Phoenix as well, who's coming back mid-February.
From his
Jesus
booed arm.
You don't want to say lucky when things like that happening to people, but by God, that is like the best that could have possibly
Because that thing
out.
Was not in a good shape when he landed on that table, was it?
Really exciting. More on Jon Moxley in a little while, perhaps. Mm. But it wasn't the only return on Dynamite this week.
Oh, yeah? Standing in the background, lurking away. The most important part of the Hardy family office.
Not that. Well, it was great.
I thought you were talking about the Butcher.
I was happy to see him back. I mean, let's happy to see him be a part of that, whatever that bollocks is.
Andrade, Hardy, family office, trying to buy children from Sting.
That's what I want from my
Their office is also just a staircase. Yeah. So. They're not doing that well, guys.
That's what I want from my wrestling. More business terminology, please. I'm talking, of course, Andy, of the return of free agent Cody Rhodes.
Oh, the third biggest return on the show.
What did you make of his pipe bomb?
It was equal parts amazing and complete rubbish, this promo, I thought. I wrote in my article, the ups and downs article on the website, it was a spot fest of a promo. It was amazingly performed. His delivery was so good. He spoke from the heart. He was passionate. It was pouring out of him. Peaked really high. Good crowd control. Big moments, all the things you expect from a spot fest, but like a lot of spot fests, no substance whatsoever.
No,
he mentioned about 70 different things with nothing to tie them together. At one point, he just negged Brody King for his name for some reason while he was trying to put people over.
You've got to be confident to have the name Brody right here. Well, that's his name, Cody.
Yeah,
and when he came in and said, "My name's Brody now,"
and like I appreciate him trying to put like people like Ricky Starks and the other folk, Darby, he mentioned in the promo over, but it's
didn't
like
really put Ricky Starks. I just said his name.
Yeah, but it's like. A bit of focus here, man. You're bouncing from topic to topic. There's nothing to tie them together. The bit when he goes, I was told I should save this promo for a later date. Yeah, you should have. You should have saved about 3/4 of this promo for a later date, mate. Because if the goal was to kind of rile people up after the contract news, which he mentioned once out of about 100 different things in this promo.
Yeah, Tony Khan sent
really
me
directly.
Yeah.
He sent me a contract, not the one I wanted.
This was rubbish, guys. Like,
I'll just say this, because I'm not riling up the AW base again, because I can't be arsed.
I'll do that.
But I was astonished to see people being like, this is an all-timer promo. I was like, it's memorable.
Delivery.
Definitely memorable.
I read it. Delivery. Right? I wrote it down for the AW Dynamite review, read it, and still thought, have I written this down wrong? Because it was just so all over the bloody shop. Me and Hamlet sort of compared it to, remember that Survivor Series where Triple H booked 3 WrestleMania matches for himself? He's having to fight Kurt and Braun and Shane and anyone else you fancy.
I can't decide with this, like, what is my favorite route for this to take? Like, is Cody super self-aware and knows exactly what he's doing and how this comes across and he's just working everybody and it's really fun? Or does he have no self-awareness whatsoever? And he actually thinks this was really like top-level pipe bomb kind of promo. And I really can't decide which of those options, very different folks in the room, are my favorite. I think either way, if he is doing this and he's kind of slowly working people and just having a laugh at the entire internet wrestling community's expense,
fair play.
That's incredible and a hugely fair play to him. And especially like if you tie in what he's been doing in matches and things and like the fire and is he healed, is he not healed? I think that just works amazingly. Or he might just completely lacks self-awareness and think he's actually the king.
And the whole best
wrestler and promo of all time.
Sean Ross Sapp thing earlier on this week. No crap, just Sapp. Sean Ross Sapp, a Fightful Select, saying, got some big news coming, and we're all speculating, like, is this trip something to do with Triple H and you know, his involvement within WWE? And it's like, nope, surprise, Cody Rhodes is a free agent. Sorry, what? He's an EVP of AEW. Yeah. Is this all a big elaborate, I mean, you know what I'm going to say about this, but a big elaborate work?
There's a pretty decent chance this turns out to be a Rhodes to the top storyline, isn't there?
Didn't you say, as he tweeted this, I think you were in the office, and you went, oh, he's completely undermining his own story by saying this could well just be a work, and they're subtweeting it, basically.
There was a thing in the Q&A shortly after where Sean basically said it could turn into like a work shoot type thing when it's on Roads to the Top. Yeah, Cody is the most chaotic man in wrestling.
Yeah.
I love watching this stuff. He's all over the place. Like the promo, I've just slagged it off a bit there, but the delivery was great, and it was all over the place, but it was fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, I was definitely entertained by it.
Yeah, it was like, what's he going to pluck out of this guy now? You there in row four, I hate you. Let's have a ladder match.
It felt like...
He didn't even reference the ladder for so long.
Yeah, he just had this thing sitting there.
I'm watching this on Fight, by the way. I'm watching this on Fight. I didn't realise, for whatever reason, they'd gone to break. I thought he was just taking fucking ages.
It's a big ladder.
Setting up a ladder. I was like... Jeez, he's dragging this out. He's trying to get some heat.
All right, I've changed my mind. This ruled.
but then I thought, towards the end of it, I was like, is the ladder there as a physical reminder? Right, whatever you go out and say, just remember you've got a ladder match to promote. It's like, yep, that's what we're here for. Sammy, ladder match, beach
break. And then all of a sudden he turns around. He's like, ladder match. That's what it was. Sammy!
One more thing as he's leaving.
Well, it was actually a good example of long-term storytelling, you see, because they introduced the ladder as a form of foreshadowing for 3 weeks later when the promo ended and he was going to reference the match.
I love as well if he is just dragging Sean Ross Sapp into this, and it is a massive work for a storyline. How he's just dragging his credibility of a news person through the mud for his wrestling storyline.
We call Sean Ross Sapp Scoop Doggy Dog in the office, of course, because he is the. I mean, no one's scooping like Sean these days.
He
breaks everything. He's the guy.
Well, apart from the big scoop that Meltzer had regarding Shibata.
Shibata's crang brain. Yeah. Meltzer with the scoop of the decade so far. Sean, you were behind the press on that
Speaking
one.
Speaking of scoops, they scooped his brain out so they can operate on
it. I don't think Sean would ever put somebody as dumb as that, to be clear. Yes, I mean... Fightful's the outlet for stuff these days. And it does a great job.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, now, before we get to this week's bloody good quiz, we are just over a week away from the Royal Rumble, Phil Chambers. You and I will be doing a live stream for it on a Saturday.
Delicious.
Saturday night, Royal Rumble. We've done a fair bit about this. Me and the Dadley Boys just the other day did a podcast all about sort of contenders to win the Royal Rumble. But I'd like to know your picks and your sort of outlandish guesses. We'll go into more detail on this, of course, on the sort of Wrestle Culture Royal Rumble go home next week. But is it as straightforward as Big E and Bianca Belair, or could we see some surprises for you?
I think, I don't know, it's a really hard one to pick this year, because they're not doing any kind of push with anyone beforehand, so there's no one obviously in WWE's mind running around in the background. So I think, like, Big E's an obvious shout, I think. Like, it seems like a no-brainer for Big E, and it's like a big crowd popper person that you can do and sort of re-get his main event push back on track.
So resetting it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think with sort of fire that he's been showing in promos and things, I think he could do a really good run in a bit, and then like great promos leading up to WrestleMania, and it'll be a cool thing. Bianca Belair seems like logical for the women's. A weird part of me really wants Lita to win it. I know it flies in the face of, oh, push new people, but Lita winning the Royal Rumble and then going on to WrestleMania, I'd be kind of into that.
You've got it's almost multiple opportunities here, because like a bit like with, we talked about this, a bit like with Brock in the Rumble, you had the 1-2 of like, okay, you win the Rumble, you get a title shot. But also, if you eliminate a champion, chances are you'll probably get a title shot with them anyway. And with Charlotte being in there, and Lita obviously gonna be something being in there, like something's happening there, isn't it?
I think the biggest wild card for the Women's Rumble is like Bayley, and if she's actually going to be ready for it. If she is, 100% Bayley should win it and have the biggest WrestleMania moment you could possibly give Bayley, because she 100% deserves it after what happened to her and how amazing she was over the silent era. So if she's coming back, I'd go with wildcard Bayley. And I think I'm going to go with Bayley for my pick. Just go with my heart.
Yeah.
Not my head.
A Bayley eliminating both Bella twins to win the match would be quite cathartic after last year's WrestleMania. Yeah. Wouldn't it? Crazy stuff. I don't have a particularly strong feeling about anyone going into this Rumble, really.
That's
like
the problem.
Yeah, like Phil said, there. The way it's kind of played out on television, for a while you might have gone, oh, Damian Priest hasn't lost in a year, but then he did lose on Raw this week. Not to say that suddenly changes his Rumble chances, but like,
it's a complete waste of an undefeated streak, though.
Exactly, heading into a pay-per-view. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they've never done that before, Charlotte's pay-per-view streak. But I don't.
Mansell was 50 and 0.
I don't get the impression that they're going to go with someone like Damian Priest. I think Big E's a really good shout. You can do him and Lashley again. They've got history from the previous title change, of course. A good combo. And it means more Big E and Lashley in the title scene, which I'm okay with because I love both those guys.
I've loved triple threats recently. Big E versus Roman and Brock.
There you go.
Give him both
and Lashley. There we go. Every large man.
Beefy boy.
Every large guy they have. I think a more boring answer, unfortunately, is that and I think there's a good chance of this happening, is that if one of Roman or Brock gets screwed by the other in their match and loses their belt, they could win the Rumble to get revenge.
Yeah.
Maybe they take out some person who's going to enter. Drew Gulak's over there, beat him up, take his spot, do one of those like they did with Brock in the Money in the Bank a few years ago, where it was like, hey, Mustafa, you think you're going to win this? Yeah. So I think they could do that. On the women's side, Bianca going 2 in a row would be cool. Lita would be chaos. I like that. I did think it was weird how they scripted her in her comeback promo to say, I've never been in a Rumble before.
It was very 2020 Rumble? Yeah. Whatever it was, 2018, the first one.
Aye, did a goldfish write that promo? Like, she was right there. Got the footage. That was a bit strange, but her and Charlotte could be a fun marquee match. Bayley's a great show. Asuka, similarly, if she's back. But I mean, if I had the pencil for the book, or whatever they write booking stuff on, I would go Bianca. I hadn't even considered
Lily. She was in the 2K trailer, you spider.
She is in the 2K22 trailer, right. She's actually alive.
So to clarify, my Royal Rumble winners then are Lily and The Fiend.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt's, there's a little bit.
Hey, listen, if it hits 30 and it goes, the lights go out.
Do you know what always makes me feel bad around this time of year? Is I go on
The Fiend.
is I look at the odds, right? And it's like Brock's decent odds for the exact reason you mentioned there, Andy. Big E, AJ Styles is looking good. Omos. Let's hope not. but then you look at the other end, right? And there's the preposterous ones. Vince McMahon, 250-1 to win the Royal Rumble.
Arn Anderson.
Yeah, things like that. But then there's the people who, like, don't do this to them. I just feel like they're doing Robert Roode dirty, right? I love Robert Roode. I don't quite understand what skin colour he's got right now. But he's trains really hard, works really hard. He's like a great wrestler. 125 to 1. Shane McMahon's 100 to 1.
Well, when's Robert Roode ever been the best in the world?
Johnny Knoxville's 100 to 1. WrestleMania, and he's only in it to be like, hey, do you remember?
Shane O'Mac match at Mania. It's not Mania without a Shane O'Mac.
I think there's genuinely a better chance of Bad Bunny winning the match than some, probably at least half the full-timers in this.
Yeah, Bad Bunny back. He was great.
Yeah, he was fun. The WrestleMania match was awesome. Get him in. Why not? Get his mate Booker T along as well. Why not? That'd be good. They did a song. Yeah.
They did, yeah.
I mean, I said they did a song. Booker T stood there looking hard. looking real jacked. It was awesome. I loved the Bad Bunny.
I wonder how easily he approves that. The most popular singer on the planet would like to do a song about you, yeah. And he wants you to stand there and look cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go away and think about this.
Let me phone my lawyer.
Can I say shucky ducky quack quack? Well, okay. Well, we have to go.
That's
back
an
to
extra
this.
Zero on my
But yes, very much excited. It's one of those things that even pessimistic people like Michael Sidgwick has to sit here and say. So what he is at the end of the day when it comes to WWE, he admits sure. it himself.
Yeah, sure.
Even he says it's all over the bloody shop. They don't know what they're doing. Like you say, there's no real clear winners who haven't had pretty crap 12 months, yep. Or not even 6 months, let's say. But it's still it's the Rumble. You still become, you know, 12-year-old us going, yeah. Anything could happen.
There's no such thing as a bad one. Even the greatest Royal Rumble had, like, funny stuff, like Hiroki Sumi and Titus. Yeah. Titus. And them trying to get the Ultimate Warrior in. Like... And Yokozuna. It's like, sorry, mate, I think you're a bit late there.
And now they get the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, maybe should have renamed that one. Maybe.
The WrestleMania Chamber. Yeah.
The chamber-like structure, perhaps.
Yikes.
Remember that? Box-like structure.
Even chamber's a bit harsh for over there. I don't know what they call it.
Well, it's going to be a pay-per-view, isn't it? Can't wait. $50 million. Yeah.
Get in.
Always my favorite time to be a wrestling media person on social media, tweeting out my thoughts on the wrestling world is when these shows are going on.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. But yeah, let us know your thoughts on everything we discussed and on the Royal Rumble. We'll be doing a sort of extended preview of it on next week's Wrestle Culture and a special dedicated podcast all about the Royal Rumble. But let us know your thoughts at WhatCultureWWE. But enough of all that. It's now time for a
bloody good quiz.
And this week's quiz is brought to you by Will Terry 17. He will. Thank you for that, Will. If you want your name associated with a hashtag bloody good quiz, all you need to do is subscribe to us on iTunes or I believe on Spotify. You can now do that and leave us a 5-star review. Will writes,
how many podcasts have you done and still put this sort of surprise inflection on that?
I don't know.
Even on Spotify.
I don't really know.
3 weeks later.
I still don't really know how to read our ratings on Spotify, but... If someone can help me, that'd be much appreciated. Will writes, just a thank you from the bottom of my heart to the most awesome team in the world, the What Culture Wrestling team. Can't put you over enough. I genuinely turned on Dynamite because of Sidgwick's passion for it and turned off Raw because of how dismal you guys pointed out it was. Your podcasts are literally my favorite thing on a daily basis. Whether it's the games in the 2.0 preview or the Rampage rap, I listen to all previews, reviews, roundtable discussions and the bloody good quiz on Wrestle Culture every week because... Well, it's the best thing to be doing. Thank you, Will. I know he sent that to us over Christmas, and I believe he had COVID during the time. So hopefully you've got well soon. Please give us an update on that. But hopefully we can get you through isolation with all of our wacky quizzes and games and podcasts, basically. And I thought this week's quiz could be all about Jon Moxley, of course. Not Dean Ambrose. Jon Moxley, nice. This quiz. Great to see him back in AEW. Just back in a wrestling ring, really.
I'm here, so I can't see the answers.
usual rules, 10 questions, multiple choice, shout your name, wait for me to come to you. And most of all, it's just for fun, guys. Okay, question number one. What job did Jon Moxley say he would have done had he not been a pro wrestler? Is it policeman, firefighter, sandwich maker, or astronaut?
You imagine that man in space. Andy, firefighter.
Yay!
Specifically a forest firefighter.
Loves the trees, man. Loves them trees. I've always said that about John Moxley. He loves trees.
That's why he lives in Vegas, of course.
There you are.
Because
of all of the forests.
The forests of Las Vegas.
Try to trick you with the sandwich maker thing in there. We all know about his love of sandwiches. Maybe another question on that later that might be my favourite question.
You didn't put his real career path on there, did you?
What's that?
Titty Master.
More on that in due course. Question number two. We all know about John Moxley. He's had several WWE tryouts. The most obvious one is that one against Val Venus. But he once teamed with the now LA Knight in a handicap match tryout against who? This was on either Heat or Velocity. I can't remember. I was looking on Cage Match earlier.
A handicap match for a WWE tryout.
Him and LA Knight versus... Jesus.
Come on,
sorry,
guys.
The words of Ben Roy Turner. Versus?
Versus?
Was it against Viscera? Big Show, Mark Henry,
or Kane,
or Finlay?
What? 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 Ooh. Bizarre combination of people.
It's about 2006, yeah. I want to say this.
I'm going to let Phil play his hand first, because okay. I want him to eliminate an option.
Phil, see, I was going to go for Finlay, just because it seems like the odd one out, let's face it. But maybe you just put that in there to try and make us pick Finlay, thinking, oh, I'll get them, sneaky little thing. I'm going to go with Mark Big Show.
Mark Big Show.
Just to clarify, your answer is?
Big Show.
Yay!
I was hoping it was Viscera.
Yeah, me too.
During the Shagger era.
Regardless, like, really like a good... Let's see what you can do out there with Big Show chucking you around.
Handicap match as well. Like, yeah. Come on. Give people a chance.
Okay. Allegedly, according to reports, one each, by the way, which movie gave him the name John Moxley? Was it?
Robin Hood, Prince in Tights.
Was it?
Men in Tights.
Remember the Titans, The Replacements, Varsity Blues, or Any Given Sunday? Football movies.
Phil, why not? What were they again?
Remember the Titans, The Replacements, Varsity Blues, or Any Given Sunday?
The first one.
Remember the Titans, a Denzel Washington joint, if I'm not mistaken.
No, dear, that's wrong.
I've not seen any of these.
Oh, Any Given Sunday is an absolute banger.
I only watch cartoons like Spirited Away now.
Love your manga.
Yeah.
Anime, is it? I don't know.
Hentai, I think. Yeah, tentacles and that. My Neighbor Pokemon. I actually like Studio Ghibli films. I'm not just being a fanny. Right. Where am I at? Terminator. Do you say that?
Replacements, Varsity Blues, or Any Given Sunday?
Where the Varsity Blondes got their name from?
Ooh. I can't tell you how many times I tried to write Varsity Blondes writing this quiz.
The Replacements are also a band. John Moxley likes music, so I'm going for that.
I doubt John Moxley.
No, dear, that's wrong.
No, probably not.
It was actually Varsity Blues. Oh. Apparently, the James Van Der Beek's character is called Jonathan Moxon.
Hey, that's our mate on Twitter, isn't it? James Van Der Beek.
Not that one. Oh. The one from Dawson's Creek.
What's he at the moment? Brody Krang.
His character called Jonathan Moxon, and I think he was like, oh, he's like that character, and they just couldn't remember what he was. Jonathan Moxley? Yeah, bollocks. Like that, basically. So that's how he ended up allegedly being John Moxley. Still one each. Question number four. Which wrestler did John Moxley idolize growing up?
Andy, Terry Funk.
That's not called Terry Funk. Which other wrestler, other than Terry Funk? John Moxley idolized whilst growing up, according to...
Who made a tit of that?
According to, the internet. Was it Dusty Rhodes, Jake the Snake, Shawn Michaels, or Bret Hart?
Phil.
I'm out.
I've got to go for Jake the Snake.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Tricked you. I'll let you have a go.
Oh, what were the other ones?
Dusty Rhodes, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart.
Dory Funk Jr. Dusty.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Brett.
Oh, wow.
Brett's going to be my second one.
I would have gone for the rugged charm of Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah. I thought just the promos of the
Jake. Yeah.
Thing. I started writing out and I was like, Brett. I was like, the answer's Brett, obviously. I put Sean. I was like, there you go. This
some rugged guy.
And then I was like, I put Randy Savage. And I was like, nah. And no one's buying it.
Not a monetary guy.
Yeah.
Okay, still one each. Question five. How many days was John Moxley AEW World Champion? Was it 217 days, 237 days, 257 days, or 277?
Bill, 257.
No, dear, that's wrong.
77.
Yay!
Hey, it was the best part of the year, wasn't it?
Yeah. Very impressive.
Revs to winter is coming.
Okay. Question six. 2-1 to Andy. All to
is
play.
Veer still coming? Speaking of the word coming.
I mean, he's coming now. He was back on Raw, wasn't he? He's coming again.
He's
coming again.
If he isn't, he should see a doctor.
Check out the Raw review for Michael Sidgwick pointing out to all of us that they've done those weekly videos. Veer is coming. Veer is coming. Mm. Veer is coming. This week, they posted the video. Veer is biding his time.
Veer is on vacation.
He might get a huge pop at the Rumble.
Has Veer ever... Like, have those things ever changed, or is it literally the same video every single week?
I skip past it.
There's some stuff about lions sometimes, and a poor guy. He's Emelina, isn't he? That's a weird comparison. But, you know, vignettes, and then... Yeah.
He'll come out, he'll wave a bit, and then he'll turn around.
See you later.
Right, question six.
It'll be the Eva Marie gimmick, and Veer has got stuck in traffic.
That actually would be a good part. I like that gimmick.
His old mate reemerged this week. The other half of Indusher, he's hanging out with Grayson Waller now. So maybe Veer should talk to Grayson Waller about
it. I can't remember who tweeted it to us today. I do apologize. I think it was Fraser Cranium. If it isn't, I apologize to whoever it was. And credit to you, Fraser Cranium, for just being there on Twitter. But they tweeted a picture of Grayson Waller and Saurav, or the new Saurav character, with Mom, can we have MJF and Wardlow? No, we've got MJF and Wardlow at home. Right, question six. With which former NXT star did John Moxley hold the WXW tag team titles? Was it Sami Callihan, Juice Robinson, Cassius Ohno, or Malakai Black?
Phil, Callihan.
Yay!
Switchblade Conspiracy was their name, I think. It sounds like a new metal band, doesn't it? Turn on Kerrang! In 1999. Here it is.
It was interesting as well, because I can't remember. Let me just look at these, because I was looking it up and I got very excited reading about this. Where are we? What date is it? That's it. Yeah, the Switchblade Conspiracy held the titles for 310 days. But do you know who held them before John Moxley and Sami Callihan?
Kings of Wrestling.
Shaw Samuels. Part of the cartel with Terry Frazier. And following that, they were vacated. And they were held by the Oberhausen Terror Corps, held by Carnage, and WCPW legend Bad Bones.
Nice.
Big
Shout
Bones.
Out to Bad Bones.
Right, so that's two each, isn't it, if I'm not mistaken?
I don't know. Yeah. Let's go for that. Sure.
Now, this is an either-or question. It's a really good question, this
Phil.
As well.
Or.
If you get it wrong, the point will go to your opponent. Okay. Which nipple was once nearly severed?
Phil, left.
In a John Moxley match with Jimmy Jacobs. You're saying left?
Yeah, why not?
Andy, left.
Yay!
It was his left nipple.
All right, we both get that one.
Okay, you might need your fingers on buzzers on this one. This, actually, I've just remembered, is my favourite question.
Okay.
I'll play that really long song.
Question eight. John Moxley was in the film Cage Fighter Worlds Collide. All right, it was Jonathan Goodman, but come on. I wanted to write this question, so piss off. What is his name in Cage Fighter Worlds Collide? Is it Randy Stone, Aroused Rock, Lusty Boulder, or Horny Pebble?
Phil. Randy Stone.
Yeah.
Aroused Rock.
I like Horny Pebble. I had a lot of fun writing that question.
Aroused Rock.
The little insight into behind the scenes here. Sometimes if we've got time in the office, and we've done all our work for the day, if the bosses are listening, we have the quiz in the office. Not with the people, obviously, who've done it on Wrestle Culture, but usually with the Dadley boys. And let's just say it gets quite competitive. I really hope one of them's desperate to get a point, and that question's kind of crucial to it.
And they go for, what did you say, Horny Chucky?
Lusty Boulder. My porn star name, that. Right, question 9. Is that 4-2? Still a chance to get you back in this, Andy. Two more questions.
Debatable.
Okay, question 9. I was doing a bit of looking online and found a 31-chapter fan fiction story featuring John Moxley. Okay.
Who's he shagging in this?
Well, I don't think he's shagging. I think it's like fantasy booking more than
anything. Oh, okay.
It's the Riley Morgan
what's
series.
The point?
If you know the Riley Morgan series, you know.
Ah, it's another one of their mangas, isn't it?
Right, okay.
Cartoons.
What is the name of this 31-chapter fan fiction? Is it The Lunatic Twinge?
Are you sure it isn't a porn?
Love During War. Okay. Wednesday Night Law.
It's the Fiend.
Titty Master.
Andy Titty Master.
Is that because you think it's the answer or you want it to be the answer?
I want it to be the answer.
I'm sorry.
No, dear, that's wrong.
The second one.
Love During War. Yay! Yeah, it's too boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
My names are far better. Right, final questions, just for fun, this one.
It's about the Titty Master.
It's not about the Titty Master, but it is about the thing that Titty Master loves most after
titties.
What, according to his book, there was a 2-page spread I saw about
this. I have this in my bookshelf and I've not read it yet.
Right, there's a 2-page spread on it, complete with drawings, right? All about sandwiches. He bloody loves sandwiches, right. John Moxley. But according to this book, and the bit that I read of it, just in case people are like, he says about something else, right? Oh, he talks about peanut butter sandwiches, whatever, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
According to the book that I read, the bit of it I read, what is one of his favourite sandwiches to eat? Is it a baked bean sandwich? Is it a banana and turkey sandwich?
Okay, so you've gone through two office in jokes there already.
Is it a crisp sandwich?
If you say leg sandwich.
Or is
I mean,
it,
that's Hamlet's favourite sandwich, isn't it?
Or is it a ham and Oreos sandwich?
Okay, that's just grim.
Andy, ham and Oreos.
No, dear. Ah, that's
bomb.
Ooh. Well, it's not the first one. Or if it is, incredible.
Yeah.
What was it? Turkey and banana.
But not banana and turkey or crisp sandwich.
Yes. I hope it's just a crisp sandwich because turkey and banana is also really weird. Crisps.
Yay!
Hey! Josh Brown.
It is a crisp sandwich. I could just show you here. There you go. Can you see?
Oh, wow.
He's got... Yeah, he's actually got the four pillars. You know AEW's got the four pillars, Andy?
Yes, sir.
He's got the four pillars of sandwiches. Ready?
Okay.
Get your notepad ready.
Let's do it. Bread, one of them.
Bread.
Bread sandwich.
One of the major pillars. Ingredients.
Oh, yeah.
I know what you're thinking. He's maxed
those.
Out there. Yeah. That's two pillars and you're done.
It depends what plate you're putting it on. The presentation is
balance.
Ooh, hello.
And my personal favourite, which is why he's got the illustrations in particular in the book. Go and get it, right? The fourth pillar. Entry point. So he's got a pretzel here and he's like, whole pretzel, no entry point. Bad. Right. But if you cut a pretzel in half... Multiple, as you can see there, multiple entry points with arrows and everything.
What's he doing?
He's having a really nice time with his sandwich.
I hope I'm not breaking any rules here, but I'm going to read a sentence here because it tickled me when I read it. The first bite of a sandwich should strike a perfect harmonious balance of all the ingredients. And the sandwich should maintain its structure.
Put a bit of cardboard in, you know.
Structural integrity. Yeah. Very important. Triangle sandwiches, that's the strongest shape.
Oh, yeah, because they can't flop, can they?
He really puts
that's what
over...
I make my sandwich bridge out.
He really puts over Wonder Bread in this. It says, one of my favourite sandwiches is a chipwich.
A chipwich.
Wonder Bread, a handful of potato or tortilla chips, Miracle Whip, done. That's it. I thought it was another note.
What's
there?
Miracle Whip? Is that is some kind of mayonnaise thing?
Oh, no,
is
always it? Wondered.
Let us know, please, on Twitter, American listeners, because I'm very curious.
Well, hang on, is it, there's a note here. I've realised the podcast finished, but I'm on this. So. That's right. He's got a little asterisk and the thing at the bottom. That's right. I said Miracle Whip.
Whip.
I understand most people prefer mayo.
Okay.
And that's fine. But don't dare call Miracle Whip, and it's Tangy zip. Gross.
Miracle whip in its tangy zip. Americans, please let us know what the hell Miracle Whip is.
Send us some.
Send us some.
Will it travel well? I sense
have no
not.
Idea. Americans, see if Miracle Whip will travel well. And send us anything to
Right, well, congratulations to you, Phil Chambers. You Thank are the you. Winner of this week's quiz on Wrestle Culture. Let us know your favourite weird sandwich fillings on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. And, what you would compare, other than mayo, Miracle Whip 2. Whilst you're there on Twitter, you can follow all three of us. Of course, you can follow Phil Chambers at...
Phil My Chambers with Miracle Whip. You can follow Andy H. Murray, Matt.
Andy H. Murray, my favourite sandwich, which is what the H stands for, is habanero and...
You could have just said ham.
Hambanero.
Right.
And cow.
Okay, follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilbur. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcast from.
I should have said hamburger. That's a sandwich.
But my thanks to Andy, Phil. Thank you for joining us. We will see you soon. Wrestle Culture is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Wrestling sandwich.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.